From the two accounts, my dear friends, the first account of creation, which points to us clearly that God is the creator of everything. Then the gospel account, in which we see this rich young man. I would want to call him Mr. Greedy. That's how I want to call him. The rich fool. I would call him Mr. Greedy. The rich fool who does not have any sense of realization that it is God who created everything. He has got a loss of mind, a loss of consciousness. To him, and according to him, he says, it is everything according to me. Everything is about himself. There is no place, there is no space for God the Creator. How sad it is. Today we are coming, all of us, in this all-age worship. I'm so fascinated to be leading worship service this morning, my first time. Yesterday I had a visit with Janet to go and see this wonderful young lady, Doris. She said to me, tomorrow is harvest service. I'll be coming to church. We both wondered if ever she was going to make it, but thank God Doris is here. We are so happy to see Doris. Yes. We thank God, for God is faithful. God is gracious. When we see such a young lady, out of her heart, out of her passion, to say she'll go out, she'll come to be with God's people, to come and worship, to come and praise God, to come and celebrate the wonder of creation. Friends, creation is God's signature. This is the best way we can understand creation. Creation is God's signature that he created the world. I think all of us understand signature. What we see represented on the windows is a signature of God. To say, if you see light, if you see the sky, if you see the seas, it is about me. So creation for me, it speaks of none other than God's signature. To see what you see, all this beauty, all the wonders that you see around, is nothing other than about God himself. Yes, it is God's signature that he created the world and that he created us too. It takes faith for one to believe in evolution. Some of us, we know Charles Darwin's theory of evolution, in which he talks about men having evolved from apes, from monkeys. But it also takes faith, not just faith, but great faith, to believe that God created everything. I don't want to get into the subject of evolution. Today I'm just talking about creation, the wonder of creation. When I look at the beauty of creation, I am persuaded and I am convinced that I came from God. I did not come from monkeys. I am convinced that for me, there is a creator. Abraham Lincoln had this to say: I cannot conceive how possible it is for a man to look up into the heavens filled with stars and say there is no God. That's Abraham Lincoln. The wonder of creation. We shall see some slides that show us, that invite us, that call us to understand and to appreciate that God created the world in its beauty, and that's what we see. That is one of the seven, most famous, wonders in the world. It is called the Victoria Falls, where you see the waters dropping. So just from nature, from natural theology, you look at that, you wonder to yourself, how can that wonder have to come about from itself? Who is behind that? Abraham Lincoln says, if I see the falls, according to him, he says, there is God. The next slide, please. Let's move on. You see the wonders of creation, the wonders of nature, the Grand Canyon. That's the Mount Everest, the tallest, the highest mountain in the world. Who is behind that? Abraham Lincoln is saying, for me, as long as I look at that, there is a creator, and the creator is God. Let us move on. The Amazon rainforest, that thick and wonderful forest, different species of trees, different species of animals, big and small, there is a creator behind that. Let us move on. And Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. When God created everything, as we see represented at every window, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Creation. So the wonder of creation, we see the beauty of the natural world, in which each of these ecosystems are a unique creation of a creative God, worthy to be meditated upon. A creative God who is worthy to be meditated upon. So when we see creation, tomatoes, potatoes, onions, flowers, cabbages, you name them, what we see out of all these is a very creative God. He is very creative. And at the end, he created man and woman in his image. For me, that is the most striking point, where he chooses, where he decides to create man and woman in his image. As we celebrate the wonder of creation, friends, we want to be reminded of the goodness of God. The Bible says, behold, everything was good. So in creation, in the wonder of creation, we celebrate the goodness of God. God is good. And you respond all the time. God is good. All the time. God is good. So he is the creator God. He is a loving God. He is a good God. So in this, we are simply coming to celebrate his goodness. Just to say, God, you are good. Creation is about the goodness of God. It is the signature about his goodness. He is a very good God. Nature speaks to us of the Creator and his love for humanity. All that we see representing creation today is speaking about the love of God. He's speaking about his love, his passion for humanity, because he is such a good God. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Nature speaks to us of the Creator. That's what Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says. Ever since God created the world, his invisible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen. They are perceived in the things that God has made. So those people have no excuse at all. That's what we perceive as we celebrate the wonder of creation. That in the things that God has made, they demonstrate, they speak to us about his love and his goodness. Behold, everything was good. If you look at this very closely, you will notice that 7 times in Genesis chapter 1, 7 times, God repeats that, behold, everything was good. So there's quite some emphasis there. 7 times, behold, everything was good. Behold, everything was good. So this is why we say we are coming to celebrate the wonder of creation, in which we are also celebrating God's goodness. We celebrate God's goodness to his people and to his creation. So it's not just about celebrating. Friends, we also need to live in his goodness. We need to experience his goodness. It's something to just come and celebrate today and walk away, but it's another to experience his goodness. We have so many things to talk about, to speak about the goodness of God. Last Sunday, the preacher highlighted and spoke to us about one of the ways in which we see his goodness. Where out of 100 sheep, one was lost. And do you see his goodness? His goodness, which is demonstrated in that he decides to leave the 99, to go out of his way, to just search and to look for one. We have so many stories to talk about the goodness of God. You have got your own story. What I'm saying, this harvest, you know, festival today, this wonderful celebration today, is none other than celebrating his goodness, the goodness of God. You have got your own story. What is your story about the goodness of God? Maybe your experience in your daily life, in your family life, at work, at home. No, just chat to your neighbor. The goodness of God. Let's just say something about the goodness of God. I'm sure you've got some story to say about the goodness of God. Just 30 seconds. Let's just share. Let's just share about the goodness of God. The celebration of creation is also a celebration of the goodness of God. Have we noticed his goodness? Have we experienced his goodness? How have you experienced his goodness? The goodness of God. Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much. See, to see beauty in everything. Because that's what 7 times God is saying. When he looks at the sky, when he looks at the sea, when he sees the sun, when he looks at the moon, he says, this is beautiful. This is good. So sometimes we tend to close our eyes. And we do not see the beauty that is around us. Sometimes we deliberately, you know, just close our eyes. We close our hearts. And it's of no help. Yet when God created everything, he says, this is beautiful. Can you see someone beautiful beside you? Tell them, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. So in everything around us, near and far, we see the beauty of God. Friends, the psalmist also says in chapter 23, I love this verse, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So in creation, we are celebrating, we are enjoying God's goodness, the goodness of God. So we need to live in his goodness. We need to experience his goodness so that once we experience his goodness, we can be able to share with others. The wonder of creation is about the goodness of God. God's goodness exceeds our wildest expectation. See, his goodness exceeds our expectations. That is how God is so good. So that is number one, the wonder of creation. We want to move on to number two, where I now want us to see the other side of it. That God, having created everything and entrusted us to take care of creation, but what have we done? What have we done? God created everything. When he had finished creating everything, I asked Margaret yesterday, so what is about this chair? And she says, no. After God had created everything, he rested on the 7th day. He rested. So when he rested, he entrusted humankind to say, now you take care of everything. So God, you know, puts us in partnership with him
to be his stewards, to be his, you know, caretakers of his creation. But friends, my next point is then, what have we done to creation? Let's look at that. Let's look at that. Abuse of creation, abuse of the environment. Have we not done that? Yes. Let's move on. What have we done? What have we done? Let's what do you see? What have we done to the environment, to the creation? Huh? We've spoiled it. Yeah. Let's move on. Who is doing that? Who is spoiling the environment? It's us. It's us. And it's so sad, you know, we make God so deeply sad. We make him deeply sad because he's looking at his creation. Let's go back to, let's reflect back when he said, behold, everything was good. Now, I'm saying, what have we done? Look at that. What are we doing? Fires. Yes, let's move on. What is that? Pollution. Can we go back to that same verse? Behold, everything is good. What's happening there? Animals. Animals are dying. Hunters, we have hunters. There was an outcry of this lion in Zimbabwe, where I come from, Sisu, the lion. Did you hear that on the news? Yeah. So, yeah, the shambo just shoots the lion, it takes the head, and they just display the head, you know. And that's what we are doing. And I'm saying, as God is sitting there, watching at the creation, he is deeply sad. God is deeply sad. Because of our actions, because of our irresponsibility to his creation. It is so sad. The environment is God's gift to everyone. And in our use of it, we have a responsibility towards the poor, towards the future generations, and towards humanity as a whole. God is deeply saddened when we do what we are not required to do. And sometimes when we do not do what we are required to do. So those are the slides that we see as we abuse the environment, as we abuse the creation. It is our big mistake. The big mistake, which is to remove God out of our lives. We have removed God out of our government. We have removed him out of our schools. We have removed him out of our lives. To say, God, yes, you are the creator, but you are no longer involved with what we do. God is out of the scene. It is very sad. This is exactly what Mr. Greed is demonstrating in Luke's account that we read. This foolish man is saying to himself, I shall tear down my barns. He's saying, I've got everything that I need. I've got even much more than I need. I shall tear down my barns and build new barns. Do you see the tendency? It is I. It is no longer God who created. It is no longer God who provides for us. It is no longer God who takes care of us. It is no longer God who guides us. But it is I. I've got my insurance. I've got my policy. I've got my fate account. I've got my properties. It's about me. I. In school, the little ones, in school, they are taught to share, isn't it? In school, the little ones, yeah? What do you learn in school about sharing? Children, yes, young children. Is it always mine? What is it about? The big idea is about sharing, yeah? Sharing. So the rich fool, in him, he doesn't have the mind of sharing. In creation, we share. Everything is created by God, is provided for us to share with others. That is the idea of harvest. As we celebrate the goodness of God, But it's not about mine, it's not about me, it's about sharing with others. Very sad, the rich fool does not think about others, it's about himself. Let me remind you, my brother, my sister, all you have is loaned, not owned. All you have is loaned. We are just stewards. We are caretakers. Everything around us is loaned and not owned. Oh. The rich fool, the Mr. Greedy, does not have the sense of God's plan about life. In Psalm 133, verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in peace and in unity. That is God's plan of his creation. We shall go to our third point in the last slides, the final slides. The final slides, in this one we shall see how much damage we have caused and how much, you know, grief we have caused to God on these statistics. Between 1960 and 2000, human population of the world has doubled, but the animal populations have declined by 30%. Human population is increasing, but the human population is declining. Around the world, natural forests are being cut down at the rate of 50 hectares a minute. This is how much we are causing grief to God, as we are not honoring our positions to be good stewards. The earth is losing 3 species every hour. Plants, animals, insects. These are lost forever. Climate change alone could lead to further extinction of 15 to 37% of all species by the end of the century. Humans also cause this destruction. So I asked earlier, who is causing environmental abuse? Who is it? It is us. And now finally, friends, if we admit and if we acknowledge that we have not been faithful to God's creation, we have not demonstrated our good stewardship to God's creation, so we are called to take accountability and responsibility in these final slides, in which we are coming to God in campaign. Our campaign to be in harmony with creation, to reconcile ourselves to God, to reconcile ourselves and creation to God, because we are all accountable and we are all responsible. Maybe the question is it about me? Is it about you? Is this campaign about you at all? Do you think it is about you to stand for God's, on behalf of God's creation? Do you think it has anything to do with you? Huh? Do you have any responsibility to this? Yes. We are all responsible. Pope Francis says, human life is grounded in 3 fundamental and closely intertwined relationships. Our relationship with God the Creator, with our neighbor, and with the earth itself. That is the only way we can celebrate the wonder of creation. In being faithful, in being loyal, and in being of good service to God as his stewards, as caretakers of his creation. We are called to environmental stewardship. We, as a people of God, the church, we have responsibility towards creation, and we must assert that responsibility in the public sphere. This responsibility is a global one, for it is concerned not just with energy, but with the whole creation, which must not be bequeathed to future generations, depleted of its resources. Our campaign in harmony with creation. Please, can you show slide 16? I think it's the last one, Andrew. So, friends, as we come To make a commitment, I would like us to make a commitment this afternoon. I want to ask for two people, please. My brother, yes. My sister. We want to make a commitment in response to what God is calling us for. Can you touch, get off the other end? My sister, hold the other end. Yeah, this other end. Find the other end, please. And you go. You stand there. Right. Just stretch it. So today in this service, as we celebrate God's goodness, we have not been faithful to Him. We have not done our duty as stewards. In some ways, if not very many ways, we have offended Him by abusing His creation. So now, we are saying, Earth First, this is our campaign. As we are responding to His call to be good stewards of His creation. The earth is dying. Let us read together. The earth is dying. It is being murdered. And the people murdering it have names and addresses. Do you know one name of somebody murdering the earth? Do you know their address? Please don't tell me now. But what we want to do is, in this campaign, we want to warn them. We want to alert them, want to remind them to say, please, stop abusing the earth. So friends, we, as a church, this is what we are saying about creation, about the environment. We want to stand in solidarity. We want to stand in harmony with creation. To say where we have not been faithful, where we have not done our part, we want to make a commitment now. To stand as a church, to stand as individuals, to say, God, we want to be partners with you as we take care of your creation and the environment. There are some of the things that we are saying today. Okay, here, switch your home energy supply from fossil fuels to renewable energy. Deforestation. These items in red are issues that are really of concern. Yeah? Carbon dioxide from industries, pollution, hunting, recycle, use of chemicals, pesticides. Take your own bags to grocery shops. Is this useful in any way? Public transport, carpool, reuse, global warming. Turn lights and appliances off when not in use. Is this helpful? Switch your church energy supply from fossil fuels to renewable energy. Turn off tap while brushing teeth. Does this make sense?
Yes.
You know, somebody will be just brushing teeth, the tap running. And you wonder, why? To them, they're saying, after all, well, this water is from Thames, and you know, there's plenty of water in River Thames. They don't even bother. This is what we're saying, we want to be in solidarity with creation. Sewage dumped in water. So please, now I invite the people of God to stand as we, make a protest, make a campaign, as we offer our prayers of intercession to God now. Let us all stand. Because we want to commit ourselves to be good stewards of God's creation. Behold, everything was good. And we have damaged, we have made that his good creation. We want to be partners with Him now to restore the creation of God to its beauty and its goodness. Let us pray. Surrounded by the beauty of flowers and the fruits of harvest, let us thank God for the loveliness of creation. Let us thank Him for the joy and wonder that the sight of beauty brings. And let us pray for those who are blind or whose sight is fading, that God will enrich them with the vision of beauty. God our Father, you have given us animals to share with us our life on earth. Help us to show our gratitude to you by treating them humanly, and grant that men and women may give the animals in their charge happy and contented lives in return for the food and service which they provide for us. Lord, in your mercy. There is no pain in our hearts or in our planet that you do not know. For you have touched the lowest places on earth. Teach us to grieve with you, O Christ, the loss of all the beauty that is being killed. Teach us to know our interconnectedness with all things. Teach us to grow with each other and all living creatures through love. Lord, in your mercy. We shall pray as our Lord Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.